Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm definitely not America's sweetheart.
This is Armageddon.
Sponsored by Arrowhead Building Supply.
Tim Jones in studio, just hanging out with us here.
How you been?
Good, how are you?
Haven't seen you in a while.
Were you able to hear our interview with Jory Murdoch?
I listen to every minute of your show every day.
Yeah.
Were you able
to hear Jory's interview?
No, I did hear it. And you know what?
He was very straightforward.
I enjoyed it because I learned a lot from it, because he talked about things that are a bit into the weeds in that area of the world that a lot of us don't know a whole lot about.
Yeah.
Like a lot of us who pay attention to these sorts of things, I know the 30,000 foot.
Yeah.
I know some of the historical problems over there, and there's many, as he pointed out. But I was not aware of the fact that basically all of these ISIS fighters are being held in essentially ISIS fighter camps.
Mm-hmm.
And that causes me some pause, because I do believe that Donald Trump does have a foreign policy. It's that America is first and we should not be the world's policeman. And even though today's left wants to call that lunacy, a lot of people like Bernie Sanders and like Pat Buchanan a lot of people on different sides of the political spectrum agree on the same side of the issue relating to foreign intervention into other parts of the world where U.S. national interests are not at stake.
So
Rand Paul versus, like you pointed out, Rand Paul versus Lindsey Graham.
Both voting same for party. The same party, not approaching this issue from the same place. Jory Murdoch was on with us in this first segment of this hour, and that will be available for you at 971talk.com/Annie, or if you subscribe to our podcast, which is available at radio.com or wherever you get your podcast from. But one of the things that Jory just said there is, we should just take care of these people who are ISIS. I don't know. I keep calling them criminals, murderers, whatever they
terrorists.
Are. Terrorists. Mm-hmm.
Terrorists.
Yes, absolutely. That we should just take care of them. Basically, end their lives. Any reason that makes you go, no.
As a Christian and a Roman Catholic, I can tell you that fits into St. Augustine's theory of the just war. And the just war theory is that once someone has given up their rights to live peaceably by becoming a terrorist and by declaring war on the rest of humanity, then the death penalty is appropriate. It's actually just.
We have capital punishment in our country. I mean, you do get a trial before that happens. I would assume that going into a prison and ending the lives of a bunch of people does not necessarily fit into the same context of capital punishment within America for American citizens.
I mean, there's when you engage in a war as an enemy combatant, you're not under the U.S. Constitution.
Correct.
You're not afforded the rights, liberties, and freedoms of the amendments. I was infuriated last week when I heard that story about that U.S. Army Marine, I believe, who is being basically tried right now for a capital offense of killing a Taliban bomb maker.
Being tried by us?
By us. In a war tribunal. He's for first-degree murder. Of a Taliban bomb maker. That infuriated me that we do things like that.
Well, you present a very good moral argument for why it wouldn't matter. If they've already committed to death, then they've already signed. They've punched their card.
Right, death to the infidel. If they've signed that pledge,
yes,
and they've donned that quote uniform. Don't wear uniforms.
That makes perfect sense to me. But are we under any sort of like international treaty, UN code, Geneva Convention type
probably.
Thing with this?
Probably.
That's the question.
Yeah, probably. I don't know that anybody. And DeRoy makes a great point, but I don't know that we can carry out his wishes in that sense. So what do we do with them? I don't want to bring them over and put them in Guantanamo, because what if the next president wants to do what Barack Obama wanted to do and shut Guantanamo down and bring them onto our shores and put them in Leavenworth in Kansas?
Or just release them. I mean, or just let them go. Obama released some of them, and they get to go back into the world. And I mean, what are we doing? Rehabilitating them?
Isn't it funny how we're talking about this, but not giving the president, the current president, Donald Trump, credit for the fact that there is no more caliphate? When Barack Obama left office, as DeRoy pointed out, the caliphate was the size of two New Jerseys. That's a lot of land. That's a lot of land. And their design and their plans were to make it even bigger. This was the group that Barack Obama called the JV team. Mm-hmm. And Donald Trump went in and crushed them with a mighty fist. And now the president feels it's mission accomplished and we should bring the boys and the ladies back home. And I agree with that, but do you want to just leave these folks up to their own devices?
No.
With Western civilization passports, as he pointed out, and that they could easily go back through Heathrow or Edinburgh or wherever and then end up in New York City at JFK.
314-241-9797 if you'd like to join the conversation. Kevin's on with us now. Kevin, thanks for calling the show.
Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it. You guys do a great job.
Thank you, Kevin.
I was listening to Mark. You're welcome. I was listening to Mark Cox's show the other day. It's someone on who agreed with Trump's policy getting out of Kurd land. And Mark came back and said, well, shouldn't we be worried about, going to war with Turkey? And this guy replied, well, maybe Turkey should be worried that we are going to go to war with them. In other words, I kind of like the Monroe Doctrine. You know, let people worry about what our reaction is going to be instead of us worrying about what other people are, what their action is. I think we should get the hell out of there, and if things go south, then you bring in the force and you smash them. So we did it with the caliphate before. We'll do it again. We'll do it with Syria, whatever. Turkey's got a lot to lose. You know, they're trying to be a Western nation, kind of in a half-assed fashion. Hurt them economically.
Yeah. Kevin, thank you for the phone call. I appreciate it. Here's a report from Fox News. This is from yesterday, updated about 6 hours ago. Officials are reviewing plans to evacuate up to 50 U.S. nuclear bombs that have been stored at a Turkey airbase in the wake of Ankara's military offensive in northern Syria. The weapons are now essentially being held, quote, hostage by Turkish President Erdogan, a senior official told the New York Times on Monday. That makes me feel great.
Yeah, and see, I guess my criticism here of the president is what it always is that I don't have a problem with the general policy or even the results. It's sometimes the way he executes it. It's the process and the procedure. It's like, did you really need to wake up on, what was that, a few days ago?
Last week,
morning that was, and announce it on Twitter? I mean,
no, saying that we're going to pull out all of our troops on such and such date.
Like what Kevin said, we just do it. You just do it.
Yeah. And people can report on it after the fact.
And the president has generally done that. And I like the way he does not broadcast things like Obama did.
But let's think about what took place the week before. The impeachment conversation was front and center. And this,
where's that gone, by the way?
Well, it's 50-50. The CNN can't keep up with whether they want to crap on him for what he's doing in Turkey or if they want to talk about impeachment. But now that we've heard the Project Veritas videos, we know that impeachment is the lead story. I want to quote here on the webcam chat. If you want to watch the show, we are live in studio on the webcam at the FM News Talk 97.1 YouTube page. Anytime you go pull up that YouTube page, it's going to show you a little red dot next to the live video. You can come and watch the show, and you can chat in the show. And Gabe Pfeiffer, who is on with us every Friday, he's also on YouTube as St. John the Philosopher, says, the more I learn about the situation in Syria, the more I think I need to learn about the situation in Syria. Mm-hmm. And that's a very interesting point that Gabe is making there, because for me, I'm absolutely not going to pretend to be a foreign policy expert. So when a story like this comes up, I have to start researching. And the more I research, the more I realize I have no idea what's going on over there. And I don't like the thought of having a knee-jerk reaction to, well, I'll just look at what Trump did and agree with that. Because it's possible that Trump is going to do things and engage in pushing policies that I don't agree with. I'm not going to blanket agree with anybody, let alone Donald Trump. There are certainly things that he's done in his life that I disagree with, and I've been very consistent on those things. And there are certainly a lot of things that he's done that I think are fantastic for this country. But it's almost to me more the handling of the issue, like you're talking about, the way it was put out there.
Yes.
That I also think we do need to reconsider how we continue to manage situations like this around the world. I think we have a massive amount of technology that we don't have any clue that we even have, and that we can still contain these kinds of situations in a way that requires less humans to do it. And I'm for that. Sometimes I just feel like I don't need to know, because if I know, then everybody knows. And if everybody knows, that means the enemy knows. And so it makes me nervous and concerned when it becomes so public, in my opinion, largely because he was trying to combat a political story.
Well, and so the Democrats, I believe, are partially to blame for this, because instead of working with the president on anything, like anything, pick something, instead of having a unified foreign policy voice, every day they wake up and decide a new way that they're going to hate on the man and harass him. You know, that's why Tulsi Gabbard, they were showing on Fox here.
That's why she's
my favorite Democrat.
Is she not stunning, Katie? I'm going to ask
you. She is beautiful and she's super smart. I like her a lot.
And she's twisting the Democrat establishment in knots every time she opens her mouth on the debate stage, which I love.
Yeah.
Can I give you my theory on why Nancy Pelosi said what she said last night about impeachment?
When we come back.
Let's do that.
Oh. How about that? You see what I did there?
What a radio.
It's radio.
Let's talk about the debate. Let's talk about Nancy Pelosi. Let's hit all of that. Tim Jones in studio with us right now. We also have Ryan and Katie in here. So your reaction to the speech last night and your reaction to Pelosi's remarks.
So you, first of all, you mentioned, I think in your noon hour, that
he does listen all
I
the
did,
time.
That you did not watch the debate.
No.
And you didn't miss much. You were correct.
At this point, Annie,
they're repeating the same thing over and over again.
I do have an obligation to prepare for the show to suffer through those things. But I also, like I said, I worked 5 volleyball games last night. I got home at 10 o'clock. I was watching the Cardinals intermittently, and that ended right about the time when I got home. And I just thought to myself, like, what do I get to offer you, the listener, by going through all of this? And I just don't know that there's anything new.
By the time I got home in the second inning, it was 7-0.
That was the first inning.
So I was like,
or close to it.
All right, I guess I got to turn the debate on. Mm-hmm. So I turned it on and I did a lot of things while it was rambling, because it just rambled and rambled. And I was in and out of the room. I ate dinner. I talked to my family. I went back and watched it. And I'm like, I feel like I'm watching the Groundhog movie. Mm-hmm. And this is the fourth airing of it, because the topics are the same. The reactions. Okay, we all want Medicare for all. We want to take away all the guns. Donald Trump's bad. I mean, that's pretty much the debate.
Maybe not even in that order.
Right. Now, there were a few things. Somebody had asked me this week, you know, what's the predictions? And I said, well, Joe Biden has to stop sinking. He did not. He had a terrible performance last night. He was confused.
Tongue-tied.
Mumbling. Stoned.
How
no, Bernie Sanders was stoned. That's
how
right.
How are his teeth? Did they
were
stay in his mouth?
They stayed in, but he seemed a little garbled a couple times.
Can you bet on that in Vegas? I bet you can. Will Joe Biden have a teeth mishap?
He might. So, you know, overall, I basically summed it all up on Twitter, and I said, Biden sagged. Warren surged. Donald Trump won the debate.
Biden
again,
sagged.
Sagged. Kind of like, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas Elizabeth Warren was center stage. She's leading in like 2 or 3 different polls now. They're not outliers anymore.
Do you think she really... You think I'm going to make a sag joke? I'm not. I have a Warren
Please
question.
Don't. The silent hand stop sign to you meant... I should say
just
something.
Just stop talking. No, Elizabeth Warren didn't seem to surge to me. She just seemed to be the focal point. She didn't seem to have a great debate.
Yeah, that's
fair. She just seemed to be the one that everybody was targeting now.
Right.
Because they're done with Joe Biden.
Yeah.
So I'm saying she surged because they're paying attention to her.
Yeah.
I don't know that she had a great debate or not. I think Buttigieg scares me because, like Obama,
it's very compelling.
I think Buttigieg has a way of saying a lot and saying nothing, but meaning that he's going to transform America. Like
Andy
Obama
sounds like
did.
John C. Reilly. Let's listen to Amy Klobuchar talk about Elizabeth Warren.
Do you think Senator Warren answered the question about how she's going to pay for Medicare for all tonight?
No, not even close. And as I said, I think that Bernie has answered that question. He's made that very clear. And I think it's one
Taxes.
Of the things that she needs to do.
So, Medicare for all. I saw this tweet last night. It was MSNBC, because Claire McCaskill's on MSNBC, right?
Yes. No, CNN. I think.
I don't know.
I think it's MSNBC.
Is it MSNBC? Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, I think it was Brian Williams made the point about Medicare for All and said that, in fact, I don't have that sound.
Yep, 20.
I do have it.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Williams.
She came under attack, and she was under. She came under a lot of attack for the Medicare for All on the Medicare for All question and the question of would she raise taxes. And she has a formula that she sticks to. She says costs will go down for the middle class. She will not say the taxes will go up, but other costs will come down, as Bernie Sanders says. She just won't go there, and she was pummeled for it.
Yeah, it makes her look like she's hiding.
And
them.
It's
yeah.
one of the places Biden drew blood late in the debate mm-hmm. by saying to pay for this, mm-hmm. if you took the entire Pentagon budget and threw it out, it would buy you 4 months of Medicare for All.
Are they starting to come to their senses
Isn't
a little
it amazing?
Bit?
In the first two debates, definitely, it was who can go further left off the cliff. And now you've got a couple of
you
them.
Get health insurance and right. you get health insurance and you get free education.
They're kind of fading back to the right. It's like somebody hitting a fade in a golf shot. You know, it's kind of fading back to the right now. It's mm-hmm. it's weird. Beto threw his Hail Marys. I said somebody's going to throw Hail Marys last night. He did, but he bombed, right? He totally bombed. No one's paying attention to Cory Booker anymore.
I didn't even realize he was there last night until like Cory
Booker?
Yes, I'm like, what is he doing there? He is the most... he is not entertaining whatsoever.
Beto is a one-trick pony.
If someone does not turn in an AR-15 or an AK-47, one of these weapons of war, or brings it out in public and brandishes it in an attempt to intimidate, as we saw when we were at Kent State recently, then that weapon will be taken from them. If they persist, there will be other consequences from law enforcement.
So did you hear the sound we played a little bit earlier about
with Allison Camerata?
My fellow she Americans to follow him. The law.
You expect mass shooters to follow the law?
Our check, fellow Americans will follow the law.
You could yes. see the hamster spinning.
Mass shooters don't fall by definition. Million. The mass shooters in Parkland, in El Paso, I could go on for 10 minutes. They don't follow the law.
That's a point that people who are pro-Second Amendment, and I say pro-Second Amendment, not Republicans, because there are a lot of Democrats who are hearing Beto say this stuff and go, I don't know that I can support Trump, but I am not getting these loonies into office.
That's always referred to, I don't think it is, but that what Allison Camerata was hammering him with is always referred to as a right-wing talking point. It's not a right-wing talking point, it's reality. And I'm glad she hit him over the head with reality,
folded. The sense is so common about that you were going to... This is important. Listen to what he says.
My fellow Americans to follow the law.
He expects his fellow Americans to follow the law. Well, that's because your fellow Americans are law-abiding citizens. The mass-murdering psycho criminals that go in and shoot places up are not your fellow Americans. And he doesn't understand. He's not willing to separate... I say he's not willing to separate the law-abiding citizens from the criminals.
Right.
He's putting it's not that the interviewer there is saying you're putting the criminals into the case of what you want everybody to do. He's putting everybody into the camp of the criminals.
And if you remember, Trump used to hammer that back in the last election. He will get back to that. He will get back to being the rule of law, the law and order president, and he will hammer whoever the nominee is, and he will use Beto's words and even what's-his-face who dropped out months ago, Swalwell. Mm-hmm. He will use their words against them and say, are you with the rest of your crazy caucus or not? So, hey, impeachment.
Yes.
Impeachment. So
is it going to happen?
Not in any kind of formal way.
They announced last night that there would not be a vote.
Right.
Pelosi announced that there will not be a vote.
So knowing what I know about what goes on in caucuses, let me give you my insider. Let me give you my I'll do what Adam Schiff did. I'll make something up about what I think happened. Right. So here's what I think happened. So she announces Nancy Pelosi gets out in front of the flags. She's trying to look very congressional, very speakerish. A few weeks ago, she got the flags and she says, we're going to impeach the president. It's basically what she said, right? Mm. So we all thought that's what all the news networks decided, that's what she said. And she did that, I believe, because the crazy caucus was about to say, you do this or there's going to be no confidence vote on you.
Yeah.
And so then she does that. So then what happens? Well, Donald Trump is such an existential threat to America and the world and the future peace and prosperity of all human beings that they went on a 2-week vacation. Well, guess where they all went? They went back home. They went back to their districts. And there's 30-plus Democrats who went back home to Trump 2016 districts.
Yeah.
And my belief is, and I got this on some good authority, too, they heard from their constituents. And then they come back yesterday, this week, and they all went and had a caucus meeting. And then Nancy Pelosi comes out last night and drops a MOAB right on the Democratic debate before it started and said, yeah, we're not going to have an impeachment vote.
Let me ask you this question. We got like a minute here left or two. As somebody who you've been the Speaker of the House in the state of Missouri, you've been a state representative. How important and how actually valuable, if people are listening right now, I'm talking to you, Illinois. If people are listening right now and they have something that they want to affect, some change that they want to affect, one voice, one voter in a district, a phone call, an email to their local representative. I'm not talking about writing to your United States senator, but to your local representation.
Yeah, you start with your city council people, the people on your fire boards, and you start with your local state rep and state senator. You should be able to get a hold of those people. And if you can't,
what does it mean to that state rep to get a contact from somebody, a constituent?
In this day and age, quite a bit, especially a personal phone call. I don't send a form email. Don't send a form letter. No, who sends form letters anymore? Who sends letters? Give them a call. Go to their events. Go to their fundraisers. You know, you can give them $1 if you want. You know, go to their events and say, I got something I want to talk to you about. And you can affect you as an individual Illinoisan or Missourian can affect policy on the state level more than you know you have the power to do.
That's a real thing.
It's a real thing. I used to listen to my constituents when they approached me. Now, form emails are one thing, but that personal touch, it goes a long way.
Yeah. We had Amy Ehrlich on with us yesterday, and I'd encourage people to go like us on Facebook, facebook.com/Annie Fry Show, and you can see a link to the interview we did with her yesterday. She is challenging Monica Bristow in the 111th District in the state of Illinois. That is a blue seat that we can turn red. She's a CPA. She knows a little bit about money. And she knows that it's a disaster in Springfield. And I'd like to flood Annie Fry Show listeners on both sides of the river to go there and support her. And if you're so willing and you're a constituent in 111th, find her and put your signature on a piece of paper for her so she can get that taken care of ASAP. Speaker Tim Jones, great to have you in here. Sunday, 7 to 9. Thank Arrowhead for sponsoring this segment. It's always great to
have you. Thank you, Annie. Your persistence in trying to save the once great land of Lincoln is admirable.
And what is the definition of insanity again? It sounds something eerily familiar.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.